Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. Hello, everybody. It was very lucky I remembered to hit record. I was already in conversation with Liddell Joseph, the founding director and speech pathologist. Apparently, she's still on the tools at Connecting Dots for Kids. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Excited and nervous in all the right measures. That's usually the right way to approach it. So take us back just the right amount to when it was a really good idea to start your own private practice. What was that like?
I started my private practice in a very sleep-deprived postpartum state that I think is actually not that uncommon.
Another one on maternity leave, the maternity leave entrepreneur. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, and it was what made the difference between needing to go back to work full-time and being able to claw back a few little hours that I could have with my new baby and two-year-old. So,
wow. When was that?
That was April 2016. But I've been thinking about private practice since undergrad. I did finance
really?
Business as my elective subjects as an undergrad. Yeah. So it's always been in the back of my mind, and I had a lovely person give me a push to say, well, do you want to have an imaginary business or do you want to have a real business? You need to register and start.
Get it together, lady. Yeah. Get it together. So back then, in that hazy baby brain phase, what did you think it was going to be like?
I wanted to be able to have my own relationship with clients that wasn't just determined by the policies and procedures of the organization that I was working for at the time. And I was in a stage where their priorities and my personal values and the way that I wanted to work with people were just, they were getting further and further apart. And I really wanted to experience, I also wanted to learn business more. So, yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Often I hear, I wanted a business, I wanted some flexibility, and often the flexibility comes up and it's often the very first thing to be lost. Those early days. What were the first few years like for you?
It has, in some ways I've had some flexibility right from the start, and in other ways it's involved incredibly long hours at times. Initially was very part-time, kept my regular work happening, but I was smouldering along the side, but I was able to move regions. We were in Bayswater in Melbourne, and we moved back down to West Gippsland. I was able to maintain a couple of older clients and get some new ones, and traveled for a little while. We started out all mobile, and then that enabled us to move back down to Gippsland, where I've got family and friends, and stayed mobile, and then that gap again continued to widen between the direction of the other organization and the direction that I wanted to go. And we pulled the pin, and I had a full caseload within a week and a half of dropping my other work. But it's let me, I've been able to schedule being at kinder functions. I've been able to, my husband's had a cancer journey, and we've been able to, I've been there for treatment and appointments, and all along I've related to my clients as I'm a person, you're a person, we have lives, we share this therapy journey, but sometimes both of us need to be flexible. So I think that's been helpful. It's becoming a little bit harder to maintain flexibility as I've now got a team, but we're navigating that.
Yeah, we'll hear about your team in a tick. Tell us a little bit about why you chose Connecting Dots for Kids and the values behind that.
Okay, well, for me, what we do as therapists in any learning professions is help children and families learn, so make neurological connections, learn concepts, and ultimately the function of communication in my mind is to build relationships and connect people together. So I wanted a name that embodied that sense of connectedness, and hence connecting. The idea for me was that I didn't want disability, geography, or accessibility of other resources to be a barrier to connecting people with each other. So we do a little bit of service in Vanuatu and Fiji as well. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a name that was tied to a particular location. So we can connect people who are dots on the map, people who might be insignificant, and I think we can give people a hope and a future where learning as clinicians, families are learning together, and we think that all the people that we work with are really precious. Even though they might seem insignificant on their own, together we can make some amazing changes.
Mm, yeah. I find it fascinating what the motivators are in how business owners select the name of their entity as such, because there's nearly always a really good, strong story behind it, and yours is absolutely no exception. So, yeah, I think it's a story that's often forgotten to be told on websites and promotional bits and pieces and in the sort of exchange of therapy as well. That business story, that why the name? I think it's cool. Mm.
I actually had a conversation with one of our families maybe a week or two ago and was explaining the colours in the logo and how they, for me, embody some of our values as well. And she goes, that needs to be on the wall. You need to tell us all that. I love you guys already, but that just makes it, you know.
Now you're going to have to tell us the colours of your logo, because we, you know, people are running to the internet as they're listening.
Please don't look at my website. So we have gold because people are precious, and every person that we deal with, whether it's the children that we work with, whether it's their parents, whether it's the postie delivering packages or anything, they've got gold inside them. Some you have to dig a little deeper to find it, but it's always there. And because people are so precious, we treat them well. We turn up on time to appointments. We communicate well about what we're doing. We use positive language, and we treat them like the gold that's inside of them.
The most precious thing on earth.
Green is for growth, and the fact that we are learning and developing, and the children and families that we're working with are learning and developing, and that we should see incremental growth day by day, whether that's in goals that are and outcomes that are being achieved in therapy, or whether that's new systems that we're introducing into our business, whether that's new, you know, financial targets that we're hitting. We expect to see growth all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes that means we make mistakes, but we learn from it and we move on and grow. And then blue is because the sky's blue and there are limitless opportunities that we want people to have access to.
Well, I am going to take the side of your precious client and very elegantly, or not, challenge you to get that story. Well, at least we've got a recording of it now, out of your head and into some of your materials. I think it's fabulous.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and have another look at your website now, and I'll view it in a very different manner.
That's one of my to-do lists, is a renewal of the website. That was put together, again, really late at night, sometimes earlier hours of the morning, in the very bootstrapping phase of early startup, and it's about ready for a complete overhaul.
Bit of website love.
Yeah.
That probably didn't sound great. But, you know, I think every business owner I've ever met, you know, knows what's sitting in the dark corners, and we'll get there with the correct spirit of improvement when it becomes urgent, or it does find its space to the, its spot on the top of the do list. So good. Now you've got team. So let's first of all talk about how has the pandemic kind of rocked and rolled for you this year?
We are 5 kilometres from what was the Melbourne metro border. We are on the regional side of that.
Oh, you are too.
Yes.
Oh, you are too. I was thinking you were in.
No.
Ooh, lucky.
Well, the police actually set the border up in the wrong spot on the first day, and we were in then, and then they realised their mistake and we were out again. We have had to navigate both Melbourne and regional restrictions,
crossing that border,
parts of our business and different families under different restrictions. And it started 2 weeks after my first other team member joined, a new graduate speech pathologist started, and then 2 weeks later we very quickly pivoted to primarily telehealth service delivery.
Lovely to meet you. Welcome. However,
yes, you know all the stuff that you've learned at uni and how to treat people face to face? Yeah, we're going to learn all that stuff again.
And we're just going to be looking at this little white light for the next 9 months. Yeah. Oh, my God. So, well done, you. Well done, recruit.
Yeah, we have actually right through, and this has been possible because we've been regional, we have maintained a very small number of face-to-face clients right through. And that was done with risk assessments prior to each of those visits. It was done in consultation with the whole teams around several families where the majority of their week had previously been taken up with various interventions, programs, and then we were probably the ones who were best placed to still be able to maintain some contact. So where contact, we felt that there was significant welfare issues, risks if therapy wasn't continuing, it was like less than 10% of our clientele, but we did keep a few face-to-face. And there were moments when I thought, I wish I was part of a really big org that made, you know, decisions right across the board for me. It would be much easier to just say no to everyone. But we felt that that was in the best interest of our clients and was in alignment with our values to really think carefully about what was best for both them and us. But it wasn't easy to navigate that, and it's still not.
absolutely. So this year at your Christmas party, there's going to be a lot more people than last year. What's happened team-wise for you this year?
Well, this time last year, I was, in fact, this time, like 2 weeks before this year, middle of November last year, I was still practicing out of a bedroom in my house and mobile and on my own. And on the 15th of November last year, I signed a lease on a premises. And this year at our Christmas party in 2 weeks' time, we're going to have 4 clinicians and 2 admin and myself celebrating. So a little bit different.
So how did all that crazy happen?
My number one goal for this year was to grow and to be able to reach more families than I possibly could. And a pandemic wasn't going to stop me.
Mere detail. Mere trivia.
It's made it more challenging. But in other ways, though, it's actually provided the opportunities that I needed. My first team member was a local person who had been traveling for work. She was a new grad. Still is a new grad, but she had been traveling and then found something closer to home, and since then has left her other position that was part-time and involved traveling. Another person was local and was driving over an hour to get to her work, and when restrictions eased for that little time in the middle, that was an opportunity where her kids said, well, you don't have to drive that far.
Find work nearby.
We've had a clinician working from metro area supporting families via telehealth. We managed to host two final year students this year, and one of those is eagerly awaiting her transcript to join our. She's currently a therapy assistant, but any day now will be.
Wow.
Yeah. So. I think there were still opportunities happening, there have been other people that we've had contact with as well, but they weren't the right fit at the right time. And I've tried really hard not to buy into the recruitment is hard mantra that seems to be predominating speech pathology. And I can see that there are more jobs advertised than there are people actively looking for positions. But honestly, I think over time we're going to attract the right people at the right time. Yeah. And our business will make room for them when they turn up. So we keep in contact, we network. I've done a little bit of, you know, supervision and marking with the universities and chatting to their grads and all that sort of thing. And just being known as someone who shares information, I think will help us over the long term. So,
So it sounds as though you've really worked on positioning yourself as an authority and being generous and values-based and curious and creative and ultimately a destination employer as well. So how have your leadership skills evolved this year? Because you were just leading you this time last year, and now you got to book the bigger table in the private dining room.
I've grown. I think I've grown more this year than I have in any other year before. And it's been still from a motivation of serving others, but my focus has shifted from serving individual families to serving a team of professionals that I want to, you know, they represent me at some level, but also that just represent an organization that wants the best for people. And I've done more professional development, read more books than I have in years, watched more webinars than I have in years. I've done a lot of work on my own health. I've lost 40 kilos this year.
Wow.
And that's been incredible. Because I need to be the best that I can be. I've just read and listened in so many places that the potential of organizations and of teams is limited by the capacity of the leader. And if I want a better team and a better organization, I have to be a better me. And the same, like I see the same in parenting with my children as well, that if I want my kids to be the best people that they can possibly be, they need an awesome mum.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your level of success rarely exceeds your level of personal development. Jim Rowan, thank you very much. So congratulations to you. If I had a crown, I don't have a crown, but I would be gifting it to you right now. Amazing. Amazing. So I guess it's onwards and upwards, isn't it? You know, you've had a remarkable year, even in the context of COVID, remarkable year personally, sort of team-wise, sort of business-wise, you've always struck me as having a super sharp business brain. So business has been great despite the growth and pandemic and all the rest of it.
We couldn't get any help from the government. but that was the best news. The accountants just couldn't find any way to make us look bad enough. So it was the best
quality problem.
I think we also kept the cafe just down the road in business this year as well.
So did I.
Yeah.
So good, strong year business wise on top of everything else. Kudos to you.
Yeah. So I've recently read Profit First and run their like their instant assessment, and gave myself a huge ego boost to see that I was well and truly, well, very close to the targets that they set for my size of business. So that's always nice to see pats on the back, and not just that it's my own accountant or my own bookkeeper telling me that I'm doing well, but that other people's measures are also
you're aligning validating. With sort of best practice, aligning with those standards. Nice. So what do you think 2021 is going to bring for you guys?
Well, we have just signed the lease on the second premises, adjacent to our first, and my builder tells me that the walls and our fit out will be ready to go for the beginning of next year, and we're hoping to grow with more speech pathologists and to expand into other disciplines. So our targets are an OT that would like
to, I hope there's an OT in your future. Every business needs an OT.
Absolutely. We need more than one. I want an OT who has somewhat of an entrepreneurial bent and wants to start something that's new within a team. So less risk than maybe establishing their own practice, but really wants to work multidisciplinary. We have great relationships with other practices of other disciplines in our area, but there's something about being part of the same team and being able to pop into each other's sessions, have quick chats, knowing the people that you're working with. So OT, we currently have one therapy assistant, and we're working on expanding the therapy assistant area. And also collaborating to do some groups with local music therapist and play therapist and maybe a psychologist a little bit further down the track. So
how many Christmas cards will you be writing for next year? Are you doubling up again? Well, 400 times?
I don't know. I think a lot will be dependent on how much I can reduce my individual caseload to be able to focus on.
Oh, yes. We haven't spoken about you still being a speech pathologist, have we? Would you like me to not ask? Would that be easier?
I love the impact that I can have as a speech pathologist, but I am occasionally starting to resent the time that I'm spending with one person at a time when I want to have a one-to-many impact. And I feel bad saying that maybe, but at the moment I'm seeing clients at least part of every day of the week. I started the year with one clear day with no clients, and that was my business development and every other thing day of the week but COVID and being at schools, at clinic, back and forwards, online,
has just messed
that up. Yeah. But I've cleared 2 days for the start of the year, and I'm aiming to reduce that. I don't think I ever want to give up completely seeing individuals, but I want it to be a very small part of my week.
Yeah, So that your work and your ultimate impact is more leveraged. Business facing, team facing, they will do the awesome work with your gorgeous clients, your precious clients.
And I have some amazing people to work with.
I'm working with
ladies at the moment, but I really feel privileged to be working with them.
That's going to be just fascinating to watch how that transition from clinician to getting more of the business activity, leadership done during daylight. So many business owners in this growing pain phase are just doing this double job, full-time clinician, full-time business owner, and they wonder why they're a bit weary and maybe getting a little cranky around the edges. So great to hear that there's a bit of a plan in place. Hopefully no pandemic will wreck it for you this year, next year.
Yes, I'm very hopeful of that. I have aims about how many hours I do outside of work hours. So that reducing the number of evenings that I'm logging back on and doing things
Good. Is there anything else in the crystal ball for 2021?
Probably to increase in the amount of training that we're doing as a team for students coming through, for our new graduates. I think that when you graduate, that's really only pea plates, and there's so much more learning to be done. And for me, my learning will be around how to continue and how to structure the education and training within our team. And I'm looking forward to that. But I also occasionally get those, I can't think of the word. I'm a speech pathologist. I should know all the words.
I'm an OT. I could draw it for you, or perhaps make it out of Play-Doh.
Imposter syndrome. That's the one I was going for.
Imposter syndrome. Got it.
You know, who am I to be passing on, you know, things that I've learnt? And, but I think if people are precious, I'm precious too. and I also have amazing people around that, can share their knowledge with me and my team as well. So.
Oh, look, there's always a big black box with string to, you know, get that imposter packaged up and tied down in. So maybe by starting to change role and easing on into new and emerging roles for you, maybe that, I suspect, not I, I think I suspect that that will start to fade a little day by day. Yeah. So what have been your biggest positives from this year?
Well, that we're now serving three times as many families as we were at the beginning. We found that, especially in the first lockdown, many of our regular clients wanted more frequent check-ins. We shortened a lot of our session times but caught up more frequently with families. Seeing them come out really resilient, seeing still fantastic outcomes for lots of children when they've been faced with not ideal learning conditions for many of them. That they're still achieving. I think having many of our parents more involved in their child's progress, because they've been at home trying to work and juggle and all that, but they've been able to build in a lot more incidental learning. So they've been huge wins seeing them. And also just not being on my own anymore.
Not being lonely. It can get so lonely as a business owner. Even when you've got team, it can be a bit lonely. So that'll be just interesting to kind of observe across next year when you've got to make those big decisions that may not be wildly popular, but such is the responsibility.
Yes, I have to. Moving past the need to be liked all the time.
yeah, Yeah, all of the time. Absolutely. So what has your business taught you in the last couple of years?
That I can handle a heck of a lot more challenge than I ever thought I was possibly capable of. Juggling family, business, pandemic, that this year. But also how much I enjoy seeing other people's success, and that we can celebrate wins that look really different from each other, and but we can still see them and celebrate them and enjoy them together. I have probably reinforced my learning that if I don't have money in the business, I can't spend it.
Yep, that's a good observation.
and just learning that I still have to make treating my the business is, you know, a client and an entity that needs to be looked after in and of itself. And that there are decisions that I need to make that maybe are difficult on an individual level when I'm thinking about specific people, but that I still need to move forward for what's going to be better for staying in business for the long run and for continuing to serve people into the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's just such a delight hearing your story. You can have the last say. What would you like allied health business owners to know?
I don't know. look, I just think we are part of such generous professions as allied health people, and that running a business is definitely a career change from just being a clinician, but that it is possible to grow and develop and to have a business that's aligned with your personal values. It's possible, and if yours doesn't, maybe you're settling.
Yeah, that congruence of personal values, business values, team values. Yeah, good one to end. Thank you so much for your time. Loving the story so far.
All right, we should catch up again sometime.
Yes, let's make that happen and let's get the next installment. Let's check in and see who's on your Christmas card list next year.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Kathy.
Thanks, Lydia. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues. The Private Practice Made Perfect podcast is brought to you by Experts on Air Podcast Network.